From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, April 3rd, 2023.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
A nor'easter beginning tonight is expected to bring 8 to 12 inches of snow across the state. Coastal areas should expect gusts of wind approaching 60 miles per hour. Chris LeGros, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Gray, says the mountains in the central highlands may get as much as 2 feet of snow.
We're really looking at significant snowfall for any time of year, really, but especially for April. So prepare for hazardous travel starting tonight and continuing into Thursday.
Temperatures are expected to stay close to freezing and into the 20s in the mountains. The heaviest of the snow is expected to fall early Thursday morning and clear up Friday. Expect temperatures in the 40s come Sunday. Central Maine Power spokesman John Breed says the utility is bringing in hundreds of extra line crews and tree crews to tackle any power outages. He says crews will start work at 5 a.m. Thursday to begin assessing damage and make repairs. Versant Power is bringing in line crews from Canada to help it prepare for the nor'easter. Senior Manager of Communications Judy Long says Versant is expecting Hancock and Washington counties to have significant power outages. Both utilities expect restoration efforts to go into the weekend if the forecast is accurate. The Maine Senate today gave initial approval to a bill that would create a separate Child and Family Services agency. The proposal comes amid heightened scrutiny of the state's child welfare system and investigations into several recent deaths. Steve Missler reports.
The Office of Child and Family Services is currently within the sprawling Department of Health and Human Services, which receives significant state and federal funding, but is often criticized as too big to competently oversee its myriad programs. In recent years, that criticism has been directed at the Child Welfare Division, which has faced scrutiny for its handling of children in its care by an overworked and depleted staff. Republican Senator Lisa Keim of Dixfield is a member of the Government Oversight Committee that's been investigating problems at the agency. During floor debate Wednesday, she argued that breaking it off from DHHS and creating a separate agency might be the only way to improve outcomes.
By every measurable standard, Child and Family Services has gotten worse. The department cannot fix itself. They give excuses, they keep telling us the programs they're working on, but they're not improving.
Few senators disputed Keim's assessment, but several questioned whether standing up a new $4.3 million agency will remedy the problem. Some argued that reforms proposed by the Mills administration need more time to work. Nevertheless, the bill advanced by a vote of 22-8. The House will take it up next. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
The Lewiston City Council Tuesday night approved a resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire and release of hostages in the Israeli-Hamas war. In public testimony, several immigrant residents said they felt compelled to call for a ceasefire based on their own experiences fleeing war. Ari Snyder reports.
Mayor Carl Schelin and several city council members said they were uneasy about asking municipal officials to weigh in on foreign policy, but ultimately decided to hear the measure due to fervent local support. Ifra Said Issa was one of the local organizers pushing for the resolution. A member of Lewiston's Somali community, she says opposing the war is personal.
I, as a child, went through war in Somalia, and I have seen the horrifying effects of war. And most of us are here. A lot of new Mainers are here because of the war. And I feel like I'm being forced to fund this war in Gaza.
Other residents said they wanted the council to amplify their concerns by conveying a message to Maine's congressional delegation. The resolution passed 5-2. Lewiston joins Portland and Belfast as the third Maine city to pass a ceasefire resolution. Over 100 municipalities nationwide have approved similar measures. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
1 month from today, the Lewiston bowling alley that was one of two targets for the worst mass shootings in Maine history plans to reopen. Owners Justin and Samantha Jure made the announcement on Facebook this week. Final details are still being worked out, but as Susan Sharon reports, they intend to pick up where they left off.
Inside Just-in-Time Recreation, workers are testing out the brand new bowling equipment and scoreboards. It's a beehive of activity, and everything looks and smells brand new. Justin and Samantha Jarray were here the night of the shootings. They lost good friends, people they loved. Justin says it was a traumatic, life-changing event. And at first, he could not imagine reopening, ever.
A few days after, I was still against the idea. I didn't want to do it. I didn't think I could step foot in here.
But then, he says he felt the presence of Bob Violette, one of the 18 people killed at the bowling alley and at Schmengi's Bar and Grill that night. Violette and his wife Lucy, both in their 70s, had been longtime devoted volunteers who coached a kids' bowling league. Lucy was also killed.
I just felt him pushing me and telling me that, you know, we needed to do this for the kids, and he wasn't allowing me to not reopen. And so we made that decision.
Since then, the Jarrays say they've been touched by the outpouring of support they've received from Maine and around the country. They had only purchased the bowling alley in 2021, but for more than 30 years, this has been a place for kids to come for bowling-themed birthday parties and for adults to meet up with their friends. Many have shared their memories and their hopes for the future of the business in Facebook posts.
So there was somebody that commented on there about how she had her first date with her now husband here.
They're still together.
Yeah. Just like hearing other people's like memories and how they want to make new memories and just them sharing that is awesome.
The Jarrays say they're also grateful for the Community Resilience Center, where they go for counseling, group therapy, and get-togethers with others who experience the trauma. Justin says counselors have helped him with his anxiety and sleeping difficulties, and they check up on him at random just to make sure he's okay. He's determined to move beyond the worst night of his life.
I mean, we can't live in fear, and this is our opportunity to offer a space for people to come and have a good time and be with family. It's tragic, but we can't let that define how we move forward.
Oh, you should bowl with a house
ball. Look at this guy.
It's looking great. It really is.
Josh D'Alfonso is the bowling alley's mechanic and a longtime bowling leaguer himself.
All the upgrades are going to be awesome for all the public, but also make my life a lot easier out back.
D'Alfonso says he's looking forward to getting back into his regular routine. That will happen after the grand reopening May 3rd. It's being planned with the city of Lewiston as a community celebration. And Justin Jarrays says he was heartened to learn that Bob and Lucy Violette's family is on board with the plans. He says when they stop by to check out the new bowling alley refurbishments, including additional security cameras, the first thing they asked was, "What can we do to help?" For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
A few months ago, residents at two mobile home communities in Old Orchard Beach learned that their parks were being sold to an unknown buyer. The sale price was $40 million. Now the residents are trying to purchase the communities themselves. If their offer is accepted, they'll have about 3 months to secure the financing. And as Nicola Grisco reports, a growing number of mobile home communities in Maine are facing similar challenges.
67-year-old Sandy Osolinski lives about 3 miles from the beach and points to the jar of seashells in the living room of her two-bedroom manufactured home in Old Orchard Village.
Well, I'm a beachaholic, so being this close to the beach is wonderful.
Osolinski moved to Old Orchard Village 4 years ago, fulfilling a dream to move to Maine and live near the ocean. She's retired and pays $522 a month to rent the lot where her home sits. Osolinski says it's a good fit for her and many of the other residents here on fixed incomes. But in January, Osolinski and her neighbors learned that the longtime owner of Old Orchard Village and Atlantic Village were being sold to an unknown buyer. A new state law enacted last year required advance notice to the residents about the sale, and it gives them a chance to try to purchase the community themselves.
But if we own it ourselves, we don't need a profit. Conglomerations need a profit. And so if we can keep the rent low enough, and from year to year, we don't have to raise it, then, you know, I think people could rest a lot easier.
And so Ossolinsky and her neighbors began organizing. They gathered just enough signatures to form the Seacoast Village Cooperative and recently made their own purchase offer. Ossolinsky was voted in as the co-op's interim president. She says many residents worry that a new owner from a large out-of-state company will neglect the property, which has more than 370 homes. And after years of relatively minimal increases, the monthly lot rent is expected to go up by $75 in June. But with a new owner in place, residents fear it'll go up even more. Ossolinsky recalls one of her neighbors breaking down in tears.
You know, to see this little elderly lady crying, saying she's going to be homeless, it was just, it broke my heart.
Maine Housing says the Old Orchard Beach community is one of about 10 mobile home parks in Maine that have come on the market since late last year. Four of those communities have pending offers. And Liza Fleming Ives, the executive director of the Genesis Community Fund, says that combined, the four communities represent at least 1,000 affordable homes that are at risk of being sold.
So there's a lot of interest in mobile home communities across the country from investor buyers. So we're seeing a kind of a transition happening in sort of who's owning these communities.
Fleming Ives says that many park owners in Maine are approaching retirement age, and out-of-state buyers are swooping in with tempting offers to buy.
$20 million, $27 million, and then Old Orchard is the largest community that we've heard about.
The offer for Old Orchard Village and Atlantic Village was just more than $40 million. Ossolinsky says the residents matched it.
And how we're going to get that money, we have no idea. But we are dedicated to trying.
The residents will have about 3 months to secure financing. If their offer is accepted, the Genesis Fund will help them find it through a combination of banks and community lenders, Maine housing funds, and other sources. Governor Janet Mills has also proposed adding $5 million for the creation of a housing preservation fund that would help resident-owned communities purchase their parks. But first, the legislature must approve the governor's proposal. Fleming Ives says she sees the preservation fund as a potential tool to help finalize deals like the one pending in Old Orchard Village.
It will be another resource, especially right now, given the sale prices and the interest rate environment, that might make the difference and help make a resident purchase possible.
Meantime, the residents at Old Orchard Village are waiting for a response. Their offer included a letter to the park's owner, which said that the residents wanted to live in a well-maintained community with the same standards that the property owners had set for decades.
We don't know if that influenced him at all, but I'm hoping. A lot of people are saying they don't think it's going to happen, but I don't know. I think it's going to.
The park owner has until Friday to accept or deny their offer. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole LaGrisco.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join Robbie Feinberg for Morning Edition at 5 for the latest weather reports. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.